The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I need to be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout Canada, throughout our nation this weekend, after people have maybe raked their leaves, rototilled their garden, ate their fill of turkey, watched football, they've probably taken a chance to sit back and take stock of their lives, to look at themselves, their possessions, and their families, and give thanks. This is not unique to Christians. We do not have the market cornered on being thankful for that which we have. There's a reason that people sign over their paychecks for iPods and big screen TVs and new cars and new leather couches. Because the things that we buy and the things that we consume, they bring us happiness. They bring us convenience. They bring us a sense of self-assuredness. We just like new things. So when we surround ourselves with the things that we have, we take time and we give thanks. I can thank you for my health. I can thank God for my new house. I can thank God for my car. I can thank God for my family. I can thank God for my new couch or my new TV. As Christians, I don't think we have the world cornered on being thankful. It's very easy to look at the things we possess and be thankful for them. For all of us know, regardless of faith, that there are those in the world who possess not even a meager percentage of what we have living here in Canada. People throughout countries we might not even recognize on a map, who live from day to day without access to education, clean water, health care, security, or even a home. All of us recognize that. All of us recognize our lot in the human condition. All of us recognize that by the accident of our birth, we are born here, born into security, born into a land that values education and democracy and health care, and the list can go on and on and on. Today, in our reading from Philippians, St. Paul writes in the 4th verse, "Rejoice and give thanks always in the Lord." Again, St. Paul repeats it. Rejoice and always give thanks in the Lord. For us as Christians to simply sit back and take stock of our families and our health and our possessions and our lot in life and say thanks be to God is not rejoicing in all things. It's rejoicing in the good things. It's rejoicing the things that we believe bring us joy, but it is not authentically Christian. For when St. Paul says, rejoice in all things, St. Paul means it. St. Paul says, I know what it's like to be full, and I know what it's like to be hungry, and I found contentment in both. Martin Luther says that Christians are meant to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be strange. We're supposed to walk into our laundry rooms and see the hamper overflowing and not say, ah, it's laundry day. Instead, we're supposed to say, thanks be to God that my family has clothes. That's peculiar. We're supposed to walk into our bathrooms and see the bathroom tap leaking and not say, ah, the tap's leaking. We're supposed to say, thanks be to God that we have clean drinking water. We're not supposed to walk through our house and see a mess of toys and shoes and dollies and say, oh, my kids are so messy, what am I going to do? We're supposed to say, thanks be to God that I have children that love to play. This is the peculiar nature of Christians, to rejoice and give thanks in all things. Can we give thanks in the face of sickness? Can we give thanks in the face of poverty? Can we give thanks in the face of death? This is the thankful living. This is the rejoiceful life of Christians, that we find God's blessing not only in the things of glory, the things of finances, and the things we can buy, and the things that we can possess, and the things that we can show off to other people, but can we find blessing in the cross? Like Christ, can we find blessing in sickness and in poverty and in exclusion? Can we see God's hand at work? Can we see the Spirit strengthening us? Can we see God working through other people? This is the peculiarity of the Christian faith. This is the rejoicing life. This is thanksgiving. Always finding reason to give thanks. Not because we're better off than someone else. Not because, yes, my tap is leaking, but their home burned down kind of thanks. But I mean thanks. Recognizing what God has given us. Recognizing the blessings flow too numerous for us to even lift or to recall at the kitchen table. But nevertheless, we are a people blessed. Not in terms of possessions that we can write down on some form. Not in terms of a bank account that we get a statement mailed to us. But I mean deeply blessed. In our relationships, in our love, in our knowledge of the gospel, with the Holy Spirit, and finally, with salvation. That we are people who are graciously and lovingly blessed by God. You see, if we term blessing as that which is material, then guess what happens if we lose our material possessions? If a tornado wipes them out, if bankruptcy comes, if a fire destroys us, then we are no longer blessed. If we make blessing in terms of our health, thanks be to God I'm so healthy, then what happens when we get sick? We are no longer blessed. If we put blessing in the hands of our family, thank God for my children and my wife, well, what happens? God forbid if something happens to them, then we are no longer blessed. As long as we see blessing in terms of external things, things that we can possess and touch and feel, we're missing out on the complete picture. Those are but reflections of God's blessing. Those are reflections of God's love. But those do not contain all of God's love and blessing for us. That is found in the person of Jesus Christ. It is found in the cross, and it is found in the message of the gospel, and those things cannot be taken away. This is why the people in Africa can rejoice that are living in internment camps. This is why those who have their house burned down can still hug and pray and feel blessed with one another, because blessing is not on the things that we possess or the places that we live, but blessing is around us and in us, but it is never contained. It is never put in a box. For me, this is the joy of Thanksgiving, a time to reflect on what I have been blessed with, a knowledge of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you, this church, my community. This makes me peculiar because I see blessing more than simply the things I possess. I see blessing all around me. I'm a peculiar person. You might be a peculiar person. If you're the kind of person that pays your taxes and instead of grumbling and complaining says to yourself, wow, I live in a country with democracy, with education rights for women, with access to clean water and health care and relative safety and peace, you're peculiar. If you come to church today to fill out your offering envelope and you think to yourself, what am I able to give instead of how little can I give, then you are a peculiar person. It's not a matter of possessions. These are simply reflections of what God has done and what God has given us. They're reminders. They're visible signs of an invisible reality. But the reality is always God. And that's something the world can't take away. It's not destroyed by bankruptcy, flood or fire or disease or death. It is eternal and it is with us and it is carrying us to the promised home. And for me, that's the good news of Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving is not that I'm better off than you or I'm better off than them. Your Thanksgiving shouldn't be that you're better off than me. Do not find thankfulness in that which you possess, but rather find thankfulness in that which created our possessions. That which gives us the earth that grows the harvest. That which gives us the intellect to create. And that which binds us together. And that is the love. If we only see God in glory, in the days of good health, in the days of good finances, in the days of good family, then we only see one part of God. But ours is also a God of the cross. Ours is also a God that knows suffering, that knows exclusion, that knows denial, that knows scorn. And when we experience those things, ours is a God that is with us, upholding us, strengthening us, encouraging us, and seeing us through. In our Old Testament reading today, as the Hebrews finally get to the promised land, they're supposed to take the first fruits of their offering to the priest. And as they bring their first fruits in their baskets, their grapes and their fruit and their meat, they're supposed to say, "My ancestor was a wandering Aramean. He had no home and he had no land, but the Lord God brought him from slavery to this here, the promised land." And the same is true for us. As we come to Thanksgiving, we need to say our ancestor, Jesus Christ, was a wandering prophet, a wandering Galilean with no home and no land. A man that suffered for us, a man that died for us, and now a man that has richly blessed us. This is the good news. That ours is a story not only of triumph, that ours is a story not only of glory, but ours is a story of hardship, suffering, and pain. Ours is a peculiar story. Amen.